Good evening. It's good to see everyone here tonight. We're grateful for your presence. Just want to say before we get into the sermon tonight, just want to kind of remind everyone that March 18th, we're going to have a booth out at the Medina, I guess it's called the Spring Sting. It's at the middle school. And we've kind of done this the last few years, but it's a great opportunity for us to try to get God's Word out to the people, Let them know about us. Let them know about God's Word, the importance of it. This year, our theme is kind of going to be really that the Bible is a light. The light for our path. Okay, it's our guide. It's our guide. It's our treasure map, right? Everybody want to say it's the greatest treasure that you have. And so all these things, we're going to be trying to have some crafts for the children. We're going to have a sign-up sheet after tonight. I've got it printed. I'm going to put it in the back there. If you'd like to sign up for just a couple hours, you know, to help out, we sure would love. We need you to help out. It's going to be a good. We've got some good crafts, some good things for the children there. We'll be handing out Bible literature. People can sign up for Bible studies if they want to. So it's a great opportunity. It's a good chance for all of us to be together and help each other. We kind of all grow from it, and it's a wonderful thing. But hope that you'll make plans for that. That's March the 18th, about 3 weeks from yesterday. So we'll have another meeting in a couple weeks to kind of help God kind of get everybody prepared for that. So please mark that down in your calendars if you can. I know about two sermons ago for Brother Keith. He had a lesson, and Lincoln was sick, and so I was at home, wasn't able to hear the lesson. But I believe it was on the family that Brother Keith had, and Hadley wrote down some notes for me and gave it to me, and so I appreciate that. But I'd been thinking along something along those lines, and so tonight we're going to have a part two of that. We're going to continue those thoughts. And it's something that I know that I need help with. I know there's always areas in our family for us to improve. And I'm sure in yours as well, you can think about how we can improve. But I want to kind of go along and say how to have a happy family. And we kind of talked about this past Sunday night, last Wednesday night, we began a study about being happy. Remember we talked about that in some and what that really means. And really I want to just kind of guide us along those lines a little bit and begin with Psalm 127 and verse 1. Psalm 127 and verse 1. The New American Standard Bible says this, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain." And we'll go back and look at that passage a little more at the end of the sermon. But I want you to see the point at the very beginning. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. When you think about the fact that if we want to have a happy home, we want to have the kind of home that God wants us to have, then He's got to be the center of it. He's got to be the center of the home. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. I want us to talk about just five things tonight and five things to make a happy home. And I adapted this from an excerpt that I got from D. Bowman. And he came up with these things. I thought there's some good things for me to apply and try to help out, and hopefully it'll be good for all of us. But number one is a way of the five ways to make a home happy. The number one is you've got to make God a part of it, right? And that kind of goes back to the Psalm 127 and verse 1. But God has to be a part of it. After all, He originated it. He originated the home. He deserves a place in it. You go all the way back to Genesis chapter 2, the very beginning. We're going to see that. We're going to read these verses. Chapter 2 and verse 18, "The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. And the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." That is why a man leaves his father and his mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. At the very beginning, God made the family. He made the home, and he made it when he saw Adam. He created Adam. He created all the animals. He brings all the animals to Adam. Adam looks at them. He names them. But not one animal is suitable for Adam. And so God makes a woman for him. Out of Adam, from his rib, he makes Eve. Man and woman to come together. And that's what he says then. He says that a man will leave his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they are to become one flesh. That is God's origination, if you will, of the home. God created it. He has a right to govern it. He has a right to tell us how to do it. Right? He's the one that made it for us, and so we need to listen to Him when it comes to it. We must make God a part of it. We cannot expect to have the kind of home that God wants us to have if we just leave Him out. We just throw Him over to the side or to the curb. Matthew chapter 19, verses 1 through 9, Jesus is talking to the people. The people are trying to trap Jesus as some of the people tried to do from time to time. And in Matthew chapter 19, in verse 1, it says, "When Jesus had finished saying these things, He left Galilee and went into the region of Judea, to the other side of the Jordan. Large crowds followed Him, and He healed them there. Some Pharisees came to Him to test Him. They asked, 'Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason?' 'Haven't you read,' He replied, 'that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate,'" or "let no one separate. 'Why then,' they asked, 'did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away?' Jesus replied, 'Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard, but it was not this way from the beginning.'" This is not the way God intended for it to be. That's one thing we need to make sure we understand. God did not intend for man and woman to ever divorce once they became married. That is not the way God intended for it to be. As we talked about this morning, Jesus is God. Jesus is the Son of God. He is God. And He's telling us this is not the way it was intended to be. Jesus said, "I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another woman commits adultery." Jesus is plain in this. There should be, and the problem is there's so many cases out in the world today. People get themselves in such a fix. And people say, well, do they have a right to remarry or not? And then they get in, and they lay out all these different things, and it seems like, boy, it just takes a, you know, you have to go through and you have to write down all this book and all these different things that we've got ourselves in this mess. And yet, if we just understand the rule, okay? If you've never been married, You ain't got to worry about all of the exceptions and all of the things and all the things that are going on. You need to worry about the rule. And the rule is that when you get married, it's one man for one woman for life. You want to make your home a happy home, you follow God's plan and you leave it and it'll be happy. Okay, he made it. Now, we all understand that there's not everybody lives by the rules, do they? And if you are married, and maybe some of you have been divorced, and some of you have remarried. Okay, I came from a broken home. I had the same thing, and a lot of you have come from broken homes. Well, God gave us the exception for a reason. Okay, he says, back to verse 9, I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another woman, commits adultery. There's the exception. There's one exception. Sexual immorality. Some translations just say fornication or adultery. There's the exception. And brethren, that's the only exception for divorce and remarriage. We need to listen to it. But brethren, if we want to make our homes happy, we've got to make God a part of it. That's number one. It's got to be that. It's got to be His way. Number two, we need to love our mates. We need to tell our mates that we love each other. It's reassuring to even the very best relationships to know that there's love in it. We need to say it. Says it all. You know, the old joke is, you know, they say, well, I told her I loved her when I married her. If I ever change my mind, I'll tell her again. I mean, I'll tell her another. That's not the way God wants it to be. That's not the way it should be. And you're not going to have a good relationship if that's the way you're thinking. We all need to be reassured. We all need to show our love for one another. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 21, I don't know any better way than just read it. Let's listen to God. Let's let God tell us. First of all, he says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And that's really talking to everyone. But listen to how he says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Once again, it goes back to what does God intend for the family? What does God intend for the home? And he intends for the home to have love in it. And when he talks about the husband is to love his wife, and the wife is to respect her husband. Okay? If we have this kind of relationship with one another, it's going to make the home a happy place. It's going to make it the way God intended for it to be. That doesn't mean that there's not going to be disagreements. There's not going to be issues that you have to work through. But rather not, husbands especially, I want us to think about what it relates us to. Christ and the church. How did Christ treat the church? Was he harsh to the church? When I say the church, I'm talking about the people. Right? We're talking about the people. How did Christ, what did he do for the church? He paid the ultimate sacrifice for the church out of love. So we need to think about that when we're treating our wives certain ways. And wives, it says to submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. How do you submit to the Lord? You think about that. How do you submit to the Lord? You do it grudgingly when you're submitting to the Lord? You see, if we think about the way God intends for it to be, we might see some areas for improvement. Love your mate. Number three, listen to each other. The home, husband and wife, and children. We need to listen to our children. And I know this is one that sometimes it's hard to do that, but we need to listen to one another. We need to listen to them. We need to really listen. Sit down with them periodically. And let them say what's on their mind. All of us like to be heard occasionally. If we never listen to them, it's going to be hard for us to relate to them. It's going to be hard for us to help them if we don't really know what's going on. We need to listen to one another in the family. The husband needs to listen to the wife. The wife needs to listen to the husband. In Ephesians chapter 6, we're right there anyway, in verses 1 through 4, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Brethren, embedded in those commands that God gives to the children, to obey your parents, for the parents to bring their children up, fathers, and the nurture and admonition of the Lord, embedded in that is listening. We've got to listen to one another when we're dealing with each other. Proverbs chapter 4. There's so many wonderful things from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4. And I know I tell you this all the time, but I want to reiterate to you. There are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. Most months have 31 days. I recommend you read a chapter a day. Whatever day of the month it is, you read that chapter in Proverbs. I'm telling you, it'll help you. It'll help you. But look at Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 1. "Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me and he said to me, 'Take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you.' The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. Listen, my son, accept what I say, that the years of your life will be many. I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. And we could keep reading. There's just so much in that. But notice he said over and over again, listen, son, listen to the instruction of your father. Listen to this. Because our fathers, whether we may like it or not, our fathers have already been where we are. They've already gone there. They've already been through a lot of the things that you're going through. And so he's saying, if you want to live wisely, if you want to learn, see, your father has already made the mistake that you're about to make. And a lot of times he can keep you from making that mistake if you'll listen to it. In our homes, whether it's the daughter and the mother or the son and the father, a lot of times we can help one another if we will listen to one another. And it can help us have a happy home. Now, brethren, that's not to say that we're never going to make mistakes if we listen to our fathers or we listen to our mothers and that. No, but the point is you can learn a lot of things that you don't have to learn everything firsthand. Okay? You don't have to make every mistake firsthand in order to learn it. Notice that he says, get wisdom. You know what the definition of wisdom is? The best definition I've ever heard. It's the ability to live life skillfully. And isn't that what we all want to do? We want to live life skillfully. We want to live life with wisdom. And he's saying, when you get that by talking to wise people. People that follow the Word of God. Those are the wise people. We need to listen to it. Listen to each other. The next point, and this was one that Brother D. Bowman had in his... Think about this. Plan at least one meal each day with the whole family present. Someone says, why? What does that matter? I want you to think about with me. Deuteronomy chapter 6 is a wonderful thing. I know Brother Keith in his lesson talked about this passage, and it's a wonderful passage to talk about. But I've got it up here, just the last couple of verses. But basically the point of what he's trying to tell you is you need to take advantage of every opportunity to teach inside the family. Every opportunity that you have, every day. Okay, first of all, he talks about when they get up in the morning, you shall teach these things diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Notice there are four things. We went over this in the prison last week with some of the men. And one of the guys raised his hand up and says, is there anything significant about four times? Notice he says four times in there he talks about that you need to talk to your children. Four times during the day. And I think, and I don't think there's necessarily anything significant about the number four. The point is, though, at every opportunity that you have, you need to talk to your children. You need to teach. Okay? You need to listen. You need to be together. Okay, do these things. Think about this. When you get up in the morning, the first voice our children should hear each morning should be a happy, God-filled voice. They need to know. They need to know that God is number one. When we wake up in the morning, that's the first thing. A happy, God-filled voice. Okay? When we sit at the table, family eating time should be a joyous occasion. It should be a time that we come together. If it's at supper time at night, we come together and let's talk about what's happened during the day. We get so busy with everything. We get so many things going on. It's hard for us to have a meal where we all get together. Brethren, we need that. We need that time. We need that time. D. Bowman says, plan at least one meal each day with the whole family present with nothing turned on. Not the television, stereo, nothing. He says, just let spontaneity reign for a time. You'll find it can be very interesting and entertaining. And I'll tell you what, I don't know about And I'm sure it's the same way with your family. But when I get my children together and we all get together and we start talking about things, it's very entertaining. Let me tell you. Okay? We get Perrin talking to Hattie, and then we get Lincoln talking, and now I'm Dan. It's entertaining. Okay? And we talk, it's just a good time to be together. And I know it's the same way in your family. But we need to be together, the whole family present. And brethren, when you go to bed at night, this is a time that's very special to children of all ages. They want us to have that interaction with them. It's a time to comfort the children while setting goals for a great tomorrow. And brethren, it's a time to pray together. It's a time to thank God for the wonderful day. Take advantage of every opportunity. The last point, and my scriptures are cut off there. Apologize for that. Make every day count. Make every day count. In the book of James, James chapter 4, in verse 13 beginning, it says, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them." Having everybody at home won't be long. It won't be long at best. It deserves the best treatment that we can give while it lasts. Five ways to make a home happy. When I was going through this and thinking about this, I couldn't help but think of a song that we sometimes sing. And we haven't sung it in a while, but I want us to sing it tonight. And that song is "God Give Us Christian Homes." Number 472, and we'll have it up here on the board. But let's sing this song together. And think about the words of each verse. It kind of goes along with really what we've, everything we've talked about tonight. God give us Christian homes, homes where the Bible is loved and taught, homes where the Master's will is sought. Homes crowned with beauty thy love hath brought. God give us Christian homes. God give us Christian homes. God give us Christian homes. Homes where the Father is true and strong. Homes that are free from the blight of wrong. Homes that are joyous with love and song. God give us Christian homes. God give us Christian homes. God give us Christian homes. Homes where the mother in queenly quest strives to show others thy way is best. Homes where the Lord is an honored guest. God give us Christian homes. God give us Christian homes.
God give us Christian homes, homes where the children are led to know Christ in His beauty who loves them so. Homes where the altar fires burn and glow. God give us Christian homes. God give us Christian homes.
Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for He gives to His beloved, even in His sleep. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. I missed the last. There's one more little bit of that. Let me get that. I'm sorry. Says, how blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. Maybe you're here tonight and you said, you know what, I just haven't been the type of father or the type of mother or the type of child that I need to be. Well, the good thing about it is you can change, and from this point on, you can strive to be better. Do your part to make the home a happy home. Okay, that's all we can do, isn't it? We can do our part. And our part begins with God, listening to God, following God, loving one another, loving our mates, listening to one another, spending time with each other, and making every day count. If we can help you tonight in any way, and maybe you're not a Christian tonight, we haven't talked about what it takes to become a Christian, but God wants you to be a Christian first. He wants you to have the kind of happy home, but as we said, God give us Christian homes. Christian homes where everyone grows up to become a Christian. That's really what we all desire. To live out the Christian life, to be more like Jesus every day. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you can become one tonight if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you believe that He's the Son of God and you're willing to do more than just believe, if you're willing to repent of your sins, that means to turn away from their sins and to turn to God, to confess His name before men. You can be baptized for the remission of your sins. Start a new life in living for Him tonight. If we can help you in any way in becoming a Christian or turning back to God, we urge you and beg you to come as we're about to sing, There's a Great Day Coming. Please come while we stand and sing.